Correspondence Month. And due to the late hour, I'll just assume that everybody's reviewed it. But I do want to congratulate the board on their potential certification as a master board. It's a nice little attaboy. And I think the rest is fairly self-explanatory. Our next meeting is March 28th, and we've received a matching grant from Ms. Weiss, our former board member, for State Farm. And there will be, we'll be trying to continue to let people know about grant opportunities through employers, which Mr. Kaplan has helped identify some other employers. So that's always a nice thing. And that's all I have, Mr. Van Kalken.
Thank you. Just one comment on the Master Board Certification Award. If that goes through and we seem to be eligible for that award, that will be presented at the May Board of Education meeting. If we do receive that award from New Jersey School Boards, it will be because all board members have completed required training, as well as a passing score on governance, which is part of CUSAC. So congratulations to all board members, and we look forward to that presentation, hopefully at the May Board of Education. In addition to the important dates on the bottom, the next board meeting being the 28th, there's also a candidates night that's being sponsored by our PTA, and that candidates night is going to be March 15th.
I believe.
That is correct.
PTA sponsored event?
March 15th, Mr. Frieden.
Yes.
Thank you. And that'll be held at...
That's really a PTA event.
No, it's being held here in conjunction with faculty conversation with principals.
Okay. 7 to 9 in conjunction with coffee and conversation with building principals. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So I would encourage all board members, if you can, to try to make that March 15th meeting. Any comments or questions about the school business administrator's report to the board? Seeing none, I would ask that we adopt a resolution for action items 037 through 043. Those items concerned approval of regular minutes, executive board meeting minutes, the special meeting that we had on the 16th, board secretary and treasurer's report, line item transfers, and information on voting for the school board election, which will be April 27th. It has the hours. So if anybody would like to put forward a resolution for 030, action item 037 through 040. So moved by Mark, seconded by Jody. Any discussion on any of those items?
Yeah, I have a question on the transfers.
Okay.
There was like $1 million in transfers. I didn't understand what was going on with the electric.
Oh, I broke it down by school. I'm doing a lot of analysis. My office is doing a lot of analysis, so we broke it down by school. That was all.
Okay.
Too many times we were going back and creating reports. It was a silly use of time.
Okay, Grace?
Yep.
Any other questions? We have a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levink?
Yes.
Mr. Shadel?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkhoff?
Yes.
Motion is carried 8-0.
Under old business, solar energy, Mr. Carroll, did you want to speak about that?
Yes, as I updated the board after the last council meeting I attended, the mayor and council invited the gentleman, Bill Harris, from Nexus Energy Solutions, a subsidiary of Nexus Real Estate Properties, to discuss the possibility of a power purchase agreement with the township. One of the problems the township was running into was the lack of roof space on their current buildings, and as well land space around each of the buildings so that they take full benefit of the solar project. Mr. Mike Wright had reached out to me prior and told me about some of the numbers that Mr. Harris was talking about with his company, and I went to the presentation, and the mayor and council had asked for a committee to be created, and I had offered that the Board of Education would be interested in hearing from Mr. Harris or anyone else and working with the council on a possible solar project jointly. Well, as I stated to the board, the follow-up with Mr. Harris was such that when pressed about how is it he could give numbers we have not heard in a power purchase agreement, most vendors were talking about a cut rate in your energy pricing, where Mr. Harris's company says they would give you quote-unquote free electricity, which would be a savings of about projected $651,000 for next year. He explained how, being subsidiary of Nexus Properties, they do not need investors, and they have the capital to get this done on their own. And due to the federal grants, the tax incentives here in New Jersey, they can set it up where there's a possible turnover of the property, the equipment, in 8 years instead of the 15 years we've heard from other power purchase agreement vendors. One of the things that we reached out to Tom Custer, who is a local resident who was involved in a solar company on a much bigger scale, to get his input. He was very supportive of us moving forward with any project, more in line with a power purchase agreement, because of the background of a design bid build would need capital, which would cause us to go out to try to pass a referendum. So given our current budget culture, he agreed with us that maybe that's not the way to go. And given the numbers that were shared, maybe we need to reach out to our architect to frame an open-ended PPA, or request for proposal, and see what kind of competition we get from prospective vendors. I'm kind of bringing this up to the board. I would like to go ahead and meet with the mayor and council in that committee structure and see how we could work together to maybe benefit both entities.
Any questions for Mr. Carroll concerning solar energy? Do you need authorization for the board? What do you?
Your blessing alone, sir, will send me on my way.
My blessing?
Absolutely. I know it's in school. Thank you. So with that, I will follow up with the mayor and Mr. Joss, as I'm sure they've created that, and tell them that the board would be interested in working with them on this committee to investigate solar for both entities.
Moving on to committee reports, we'll have another public comment section later in the evening or later in the meeting. Facilities and finance. Mark?
Okay. Only one item I'll discuss. I think we've covered the budget well. The never-ending saga of the bought house. We have some good news. I'm holding in front of me a piece of paper from the Board of Adjustment, which in fact grants us the use variance that is necessary, because the property is actually a residential property and the variance is required to use it as a museum. There are a bunch of other variants as well due to lot size issues and so forth, but we don't need to go into all those building details, essentially, since they've already been approved. And the other thing that's been approved is the subdivision to create a small second lot. However, there are conditions. Most of those are a minor boilerplate issue that will be handled by our attorney or others. The one remaining issue that is worth bringing up is the obligation to provide parking and a sidewalk, which we have discussed in the past. One change from what we had discussed earlier, we no longer need to provide the sidewalk before the subdivision. The sidewalk now needs to be completed only before the home is actually used as a museum. Until that access is required, the sidewalk doesn't have to be built. However, there is an obligation on whoever owns the property to provide that. Now, right now, the BOE has that obligation. It states here clearly that we have the right to assign this obligation to another person or entity. So the long and short of this is, we could build the sidewalk now if we chose, or we could hand the property off to the Vought House organization and transfer the obligation to them to construct the sidewalk. Don Sherbloom and his organization are aware of that. And I think you all received a letter from Don. I think this went to everybody in the board, did it not? It might not have made sense to all of you because you hadn't heard the initial part of the report. It probably makes more sense now, but if you don't remember what it said, the basis is that Don's organization feels uncomfortable taking responsibility for the sidewalk, which actually makes sense because it's going to be on our property. And he expresses some concern over liability, maintenance, plowing it in the winter, and so forth. And that's actually a very important point. I'm not sure if, in fact, he can take care of that if it's on our property. The more important issue, however, is the cost of constructing the sidewalk. The estimate was $18,000. Don's organization, after meeting and discussing it, has suggested that they would pay for 50% of the cost of the installation of the sidewalk up to a maximum of $9,000. I'm going to ask the board to pick up the rest. As far as I know, unless something else comes up, this is our last remaining hurdle. I hate to say that, but something else will probably come up. But this is our last remaining hurdle to proceeding along to transfer this property to Don's organization. Have to decide what it wants to do about the $18,000. I don't think we need to decide that at the moment, but it will come up eventually.
Thank you, Mark. Did everybody get a copy of that letter? We all got a copy of that letter. Do you want to make a motion?
Do we need a motion? I don't know if we want to make a motion. Do we want to debate it now? I'll make a quick statement.
Go ahead.
And then we can go from there. Philosophically, I'm opposed to us having to pay another dime for this. However, there are times to put philosophies and such things aside for the greater good. I don't want to be frivolous with taxpayer money, but at the end of the day, this is $9,000 in a $27 million budget. I would suggest that we bite the bullet, come up with 9 big ones, let Don come up with the other, and move on already and put this one to bed. I know there will be someone on board who will object. And again, from a pure principle point of view, I don't think it's appropriate that we have to put another dime into this, but I'm tired of seeing the issue come up. We've wasted an awful lot of time on it. It's $9,000, and frankly, I'm afraid the whole building's going to just collapse in a pile of dust if we don't take care of it soon. So well, I would like to suggest that we move on already.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'll leave it up to the board after that.
Do you want to make a motion to that effect?
No, what's appropriate here, Pat?
No dust.
Do we need a motion? I don't know.
It'd probably be good to memorialize it because the board that's sitting now may not be the board that's sitting when the sidewalk is built.
Okay, so I'll make a motion. I don't know how we want to word it. That we essentially send a letter of agreement to Don's organization that we will accept them providing up to $9,000. Understanding, of course, that if the sidewalk costs more, the board will be on the hook for the rest of that. He's offering up to $9,000, but I'll propose that we accept that.
Do we have a second to that motion?
One more. We discussed a little bit earlier. It's not an unreasonable position. It will be on our property.
Yes.
And we are going to incur permanent ongoing expenses to maintain that concrete and to treat it.
Yes.
To edge around it.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
We're picking up an obligation in order to support the future use of that facility. What we're talking about is splitting that cost of that initial purchase, but then we'll own that forever. It's just something to know before we vote on it.
That's a good point. That's correct.
We're going to be caring for that.
Yes.
I don't know how long is it, Mark?
No, we really should have a second on a motion before we discuss it. Do we have a second for Mark's motion?
Second.
Yes.
Second by Grace. Now, I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
I don't oppose, and I think it's reasonable, but we do have some obligations that we're incurring as part of this transaction as well.
Right, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that should be part of the memorandum here, that we understand that we're going to, in fact, own the sidewalk and property. We're going to be liable for it. I think anything else is going to be a mess. We're just going to ask for them to contribute some money for the construction, but the sidewalk will be ours. In fact, we might consider extending the sidewalk all the way out to the road. Is there a sidewalk on Gray Rock out there? bit.
Any other comments?
I actually have two questions. And I guess we've explored all the avenues of making sure that we are responsible to pay that. We can't give them the whole responsibility to pay.
Oh, we can.
We can, but they won't accept it.
Don't want to.
As our negotiation person, as you well know, we have no idea where that might end. We could certainly go back and negotiate. My point was simply that okay, negotiating, you know, millions of dollars of salaries is one thing. This is $9,000. I mean, how much more overtime do we want to spend on it? I mean, we could go negotiate.
It's just coming to a logical conclusion is what you're saying.
Yes, I just think it doesn't make sense.
I personally find it very interesting that, you know, they're willing to pay half. It's I don't know how many thousands of dollars they're going to have to raise in order to fix that place up to make it a museum.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're going to have more than enough money for a stupid sidewalk for $18,000.
One would think. One more question. As far as the ongoing maintenance, we're not agreeing now to accept the ongoing maintenance.
I think that has to be
part. I think that would have to be spelled out because it's on our property.
It's on our property. I think that has to be part of it.
Really came down to in conveying the land, given that the site plan moving forward that this can only be used as a museum, how would you gain access? Well, there's very little because of the covenants, the historical and the other ones that are under the DEP, very little parking can be on site. So it was proposed that parking would be on our site and we would possibly be using the site with our students at the middle school at Spruce Run. So that's where the debate came up, who was liable for the sidewalk. But it really comes down to we can put that on the person who's taking ownership of the property. And Mr. Sherblum has put back that maybe we can split the costs, but we know that we would incur all the maintenance, as Mr. Sturgis said, moving forward, that would all be on us.
Would it be all the maintenance? Because presumably at some point, the last 50 feet of the sidewalk will be on their property. Shouldn't we just say, we'll maintain the sidewalk?
That is on our property.
But, yes. You know,
but the majority of it
will be on our property.
That makes sense. Cleanest way to handle it.
Yes, I'd like to read the motion to clarify. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves entering into an agreement whereby the Voight House Incorporated will pay $9,000 toward the sidewalk necessary for pedestrian traffic.
Up to $9,000.
Okay, up to $9,000 or a max of 50%.
50% or a max of $9,000, I think, is actually what it is.
Okay. 50%.
Up to a max of. Because then we'll have no agreement and we'll be back to only that.
Okay, let me try again. Be resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves entering into an agreement whereby the Voight House Incorporated will pay 50% up to a maximum of $9,000 toward the sidewalk necessary for pedestrian traffic from parking by the barn on CTMS property to the Voight House. Additionally, the board acknowledges and accepts the responsibility of ongoing maintenance of said sidewalk, the portion of which resides on board property.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any additional discussion?
Yeah, Jim, I kind of agree with you. I think this organization, I appreciate Mark's desire to put this thing to bed. However, they're going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars renovating this facility, which I imagine they'll make, you know, they'll earn income from. I just don't see why we would.
It's a non-profit.
Okay, but I still don't see why we would put half the bill for this sidewalk.
Is there anybody on the board, since this won't be done for a while, is there anybody on the board that feels maybe we should wait until after school board election and let the new board vote on this? I guess not. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call vote.
Ms. Krasty?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levin?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
No.
Mr. Scheibel?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkhoff?
No.
Motion carries 6-2.
I'll write a letter to Dunn.
I will write a letter.
Now, Mark, can we have a motion then on the other action items 101 to 116?
Yes. Let me move actions 11FF101 through 11FF116.
Second on that?
Second.
Second by Gray. Any discussion on the other items?
105, I'm confused by this, the dates on spring recess.
105?
This is matches what North Hunter and Voorhees has put out, Mr. Shadle, regarding the possibility of incurring any more.
No, I understand that. I don't understand the dates. I don't know what it means. Beginning Monday, March 25th, then Monday, April 18th. I don't know. What does that mean?
Right. That would be Easter Monday and then working back from inside the actual spring break, the Monday, and working towards Good Friday. So that would be the first day that we would give back if need be, if we incur any more snow before adding on to the school year, would be that Monday, Easter Monday.
Oh, this is if we need to get more.
Correct.
Back more, okay.
This year.
Okay.
This is this year.
So then, to clarify, so the first give back day, the first give up day, in the event we had more snow days or weather days, would be April 25th, and then if we needed another day, you would start on April 18th.
Yes.
Correct.
And then April 19th and so forth through that work week.
Up until Good Friday, which would still be a day
so
off.
You're trying to keep the full week intact by taking the forward Monday first.
That is correct, and also in line with which the high school has approved theirs.
Thank you.
I also wanted to call the board's attention to motion 110. That is, as good as it looks, the state has a clean energy program whereby they'll fully fund an energy audit of our four schools. They limit you to five firms that they've already self-selected. It's fine with us.
And we'll
get the value of a over $32,000 service.
Is that a reimbursement?
Yeah, it is reimbursement. And years ago, there was a caveat that you had to then implement a certain dollar value of the suggestions, but that caveat has been removed. I mean, obviously, the idea is you don't implement the energy savings.
Any other questions about items 110 to 116? No, we're not 110.
108, can you just explain that?
To reflect carryover. You know, you get your original allocation every year for NCLB, but then if you don't spend all the money for the prior year, when the prior year's final report is approved and carryover is approved, then you have to file an amendment for the next year to reflect the carryover of the prior year. Does that make sense?
Sounds good.
I have a question on 113. The lacrosse fees, I'm astounded. How did it end up higher than basketball?
Well, first of all, there's a $75 scheduling fee that's new to the lacrosse programs that's done by the powers that run these sports. It's a mathematical calculation. I know.
But transportation more than what you would have? For,
yes, you know why? Because
I mean,
you can't put two teams on a lacrosse bus because of equipment.
And then many of the teams that we play local to us.
I mean, are we getting, that's a good point too, but are we getting sign-ups for that? I mean, that just...
No, it's shaky.
I recall that lacrosse, when it entered the system 2 years ago, was in fact totally parent supplied. So the parents were paying for this. This happened, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when it first came on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was added on. The parents were paying for the whole thing. So it shouldn't be a big shock because they started paying for it. Unless the prices have gone up considerably. I don't know. That's the way it came in the system.
Yeah, how about baseball? Is that and softball? Is there a scheduling fee for that as well? Because that's pretty.
It's a mathematical calculation. I'd be happy to show the spreadsheet. I don't have it back. You know, it's just mathematical.
And that's pay to participate right now this year.
And the only thing I will call your attention to is we change that we'll cut a check if remaining monies are in excess of $10 a person, because $5 checks are a lot of $5 checks are fairly tedious. I figure $10 is a little bit more practical. We're not 100% sure which of these four sports will run.
You know, if the kids really want to play baseball, or if the girls want to play softball, community athletics runs a baseball program. I think it's grades 4 through 12. $115, $125. You know, I don't know what the price is for Little League or Senior League, but it's significantly less than this.
Half.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, this is on the school team. It's a shame. Any other questions? I have a question on 116. We just had a resignation. I heard you talk about the superintendent from Clinton. Does that affect 116 at all?
It does, and the staff member that we were going to share, the position we will still share, we will be filling that position with a new staff member.
How much of the $16,250 will go to the district and how much will go to the individual?
$14,2500.
No, because it's $16,250 minus $2,500, so it would be $13,750, right? $13,750 plus $2,500? $13,750 will go to the district, $2,500 was allocated as a stipend. Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levin?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motions carry 8-0.
Thank you. Personnel negotiations, Michelle?
Yes, so I already gave my report. We had our meeting at the middle of February, and our next meeting is coming up March 22nd. Just one thing I wanted to add about the meeting, about our meetings. Our meeting schedule is based upon when everyone in the two teams are available. There are a lot of schedules to coordinate. Therefore, you know, time goes by, weeks go by, because there's a lot of people to accommodate. So you need that time in between to accommodate the schedules. And sometimes, like in this case, we need the time to go out and the parties needed to do research on the various issues. So while it may seem that there's a lot of time that goes by between the meetings, it's for a reason, and that is it's to accommodate the schedules. It wouldn't be appropriate to hold meetings if teams cannot all attend. Secondarily, I do want to point out that in the event that the negotiations resolve favorably, there could be a substantial savings to the board regarding the benefits. So we are hopeful that will resolve. Okay. As far as my report and my motions, I actually just have a question on number 156.
Do you want to make a motion first, Ms. Presti, and then we'll discuss?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd like to move for approval action numbers 11 PN 141 through PN 158.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Jody. Go ahead, Michelle.
I just want to make 156 consistent with 157 and similar motions, that the stipend rate of $500 is in accordance with the negotiated agreement.
That's why it's not listed. It actually is past practice. It's not part of the CTEA contract.
Oh, because it's, okay.
That's why it's worded differently.
I see. Okay. That is all.
Any other questions or concerns? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levin?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motions carry 8-0.
Thank you. Policy and curriculum. Jody?
We did meet as a committee this month. Presented to us were some updates for our policies and regulations. They are listed here for you to review. This will be our
our first reading. They'll come back again next month for the second reading. If there's any comments, happy to report there's textbooks that we're purchasing for Spanish. We also met with Bobby Felipe, and she walked us through a new program. It's actually the purchase of a reading materials. So again, more books in the classroom for the fourth and fifth grades. Please note that's a fairly high expense, coming in at about $72,000. Does combine all of the key best practices that are out with the curriculum, bringing that into our classrooms for our students. And then lastly, some fun stuff, which is the approval of class trip for our kids. It's a great event. So I would like to move for approval action items PC019 through PC022.
Jody, have a question?
Sure.
Thank you, Jody.
Let's get a second on that first. Second by John. Go ahead, Tanya.
020, the reading materials?
Yes.
Is anyone in the room that can provide detail on what they are and the funding breakdown of the ARA and the NCLB funds?
Those are tied to a program called American Reader, Kevin, for fourth and fifth grade. And as Jody talked about, there would be resources and professional development for our staff to implement those as well. They are set up that they are cross-curricular, so they not only support the language arts literacy in that time frame of the day, but science, social studies, as well as all programs going on in fourth and fifth grade. What we hope to do is grow this so that it becomes K-5.
So how much of the funds were ARA and how much were NCLB?
I'm trying to look it up really quickly, Kevin.
It's about 58 was ARA.
Okay. It's supplanted ones?
Yeah, I'm taking a look really quick.
That should be supplanted. Yes.
It is supplanted. It is supplanted.
I think we would have known that it was supplanted by now.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Some of the prior purchases we had made were supplanted.
Is that American Reading Materials?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, 39 plus 8. No, just 39 is the supplies themselves.
No, the 18.5 is.
The 18.5 is supplies also?
No, that's PD, but I think that's.
It's part of it. Okay, and how about the 7,400?
I think that was.
Mr. Sirtis, I'll be able to give you your number. That may vary by 7,400.
Kevin, I do believe all the supplement money has been encumbered or currently used for ARA, but some of the supplant money, we are, through research and input from the administration and the staff, we're looking to find those resources. So we did put out some amendments to what we are using the money for, so we can move it towards professional development and those resources.
Can we get a breakdown of that? Because I remember votes being put forward on how the, I mean, going back 15 months to board votes on commitment of funds that was supplanted. I do recall a couple of reallocation of funds that we've approved. Distance learning equipment was one of them, 10 grand. But I really don't have any idea the breakdown of how we spent that money. I just haven't heard since, you know, going back to the fall of 2009, I guess that was.
I'll give you and the board an update. Okay.
We've talked about that before here, about trying to account for that. Okay. And my concern, which I've talked about, you know, prior to becoming a board member, after becoming a board member and in the SEAC meetings, is the funds are subject to supplement, not supplant. And they're intended to build capacity in special education services. And we have significant special education expenses, which we all discuss frequently. But in this instance, we've got substantial funds to offset the cost of special education. And I don't believe when we use the funds to supplant for general education supplies that it meets the spirit of the act. I don't feel that that generally builds capacity in special education. So it's a concern, a long-standing concern I've had. So from what I hear, it sounds, I don't know what the total dollar amount is, but it sounds like it's a supplanted purchase of general education training and...
It's for all staff and all students in fourth and fifth grade where we currently have inclusion programs.
But the act is subject to supplement, not supplant. And I know that there is a loophole that you can supplant up to 50%, but it doesn't meet the spirit of the act. It's not what it was intended to be. So, as I've done before, I would state my objection to the spending in that manner, and I would ask for a breakdown of that amount, whatever it was, 440 or 460, I'm not quite sure, of how those funds were spent.
$72,000 for additional reading material, and I'm assuming that our fourth and fifth graders already have a reading book and maybe a language arts book.
They don't have any reading books. They read different books. We don't have like a...
We already have reading material for them, correct?
We do have some reading material. The fourth and fifth grades were also needed some supplemental material for their guided reading.
Don't they need a math textbook that they can take home? I would suggest that a math textbook is maybe more important than additional reading material. I don't understand why they have to share math textbooks, why we don't have the books in math.
I wasn't aware that Stephanie didn't have enough. I still think we had
due to financial issues, or they due to the fact that some teachers prefer to make their own notes? I mean, do we know?
In math, we've always had enough textbooks in fifth grade. We have textbook series, and there have been books for fifth grade.
Does every fifth grade student have a math textbook?
As far as I know, that's something I have no clue into.
And are there restrictions to the students taking them home? Or are they required to leave them in class?
There's no, not to my knowledge. I will have to check.
Okay. You know, I'm also concerned about item 021. And my concern is why do we wait more than halfway through the school year to buy Spanish textbooks? If our 7th and 8th graders needed a textbook in Spanish, why wasn't that purchased over the summer so that they could have had them at the beginning of the school year?
Well, we were doing research on it, and made a determination on the best books to purchase, working with North Hunterdon and what books they have there, and so that it would lead our students right into being ready for to go to the event.
The whole issue of textbooks is something that comes up, frequently, and it has for years, and it's been a source of frustration and
bewilderment from parents and board members. Is there a chance that maybe we can put something, maybe this is a question for Kevin, do something in the curriculum committee where, you know, we could just look at the textbooks across the district? And Mark had a very good point. I mean, sometimes I'm bewildered about, you know, where the holes are and whether this is policy driven or money driven or, you know, philosophy of like we're moving away from textbooks more towards technology. I don't really understand the whole thing, but I personally as a parent have had frustrations about holes in science, as that woman said, where it's packet driven. I've been, you know, on a jihad about eighth grade social studies textbooks that can't leave the classroom because there's not one for every student. I mean, I'd like to see us do something in committee where we look at the whole thing and understand.
In my 18 months, Grace, you know, one of the things that I've heard from parents was the idea of, you know, where's the book? I want to support my child at home. As well as, you know, hearing from the teachers at the very productive in-service we had on President's Day was that they believe in the instruction. They are moving forward in writing the curriculum, looking at, you know, what is being learned. That's the focus, but they want to make sure that the right resources are there. So we want to tie that whole process together. So there are gaps that we're looking at. And as the new curriculum standards are being changed, we're trying to see where certain content, certain concepts are not going to be addressed anymore and maybe shared out. It's one of the things in our discussion with the curriculum consortium, we're talking to the high school. What are you looking for the child coming forward? And just as Bobby explained with Spanish, what is a way that we could possibly tie our students into your Spanish program and give them a leg up so they can possibly test into Spanish too? That was one of the kind of the holdup of going on. Some of the things Michelle talked about, trying to get everybody on the same page to make sure we're all speaking together on the same topic. But as the teachers are addressing the rest of this year, what is being learned by the children, we've asked them to look at what are the resources that you have to do just that, to support the learning. And moving forward, we hope that we'd be able to make those purchases to support the teachers, to support the children.
Well, there are textbooks now, but they're very, very old, probably about 20 years old. So the cultural aspects do not match culture today.
What class is that?
Spanish.
They do have textbooks that are very, very old. So addressing the way that the order that the content is taught and also the cultural issues are not contemporary. Along with these textbooks, there are online resources, various technological tools that supplement the textbooks that the teachers will also have available.
Bobby, how long does it take from beginning to end when you start, from the moment we decide we need new Spanish textbooks? They're very old. Our teachers think we need an update. How long does it take from the day that decision is decided until the books are ordered? Because I know it's a long time, but how long does it take? And then my next question is going to be, what steps go into that process of that decision, of the decision of what books should we ultimately get?
The first step is to really get a sampling of the various books that would fit the bill. Look through those books and assess them based on criteria that we need to assess them. Do they fit the teaching? Do they fit what the children need to learn? Are they culturally unbiased? Are they gender unbiased? So the review of the books would be probably the longest.
Who does that review?
The teachers do, and I am also part of that review.
And then how long does that review usually take?
It depends on the subject area. It depends on how many textbooks we have to review that we think might be appropriate, that we really want to look at closer. It could take a couple of months. It could take more than that.
So it's a long period of time.
It is, and it depends on how quickly the books are, you know, how quickly we secure the books, the samples of the books.
Wow. How long do they usually take? Like, if I called up, I don't know, GAN Publishing or whoever publishes these things, if I called them up and said, can you send me some appropriate textbooks for the 7th and 8th grade in Spanish, how long would it take them to get them to me?
I would say maybe a couple to a few weeks.
Okay. And then what's the step after you review them? Then what's the next step?
Then start talking with the sales representatives for cost and for what kinds of next
how long did it take for the process for 7th and 8th grade?
It took 7th and 8th grade longer than it would have normally taken. The hope was to have those books last, you know, for this September. One of the things that I guess didn't continue when I had my medical week last year was that the process kind of broke down a little bit. There wasn't somebody overseeing it. And so it got put off. And so it kind of resumed again this year.
So the point being that this is like a year, at least a year-long process to pick a book.
But it
almost sounds like if you're telling me it takes about 6 months to review a book, it's almost a year to read.
I would say 6 months for the book. Generally speaking. Sometimes 3 or 4 months.
So in other words, I can't decide today I want a new book and have one of my have a book decided and picked in a month. So it's not.
Another question then?
Go ahead.
On 020, can I ask of Kevin or the PC committee, how do we arrive at the decision to fund that purchase with ARIC and then CLB? How does that tie in?
In looking at the need, Kevin, of resources for our teachers and looking at where we might want to start to grow our language arts literacy so that there are leveled materials at the ready. Bobby and leadership team and the discussed with staff. One of the areas we looked at was that third, fourth grade continuum where we are seeing a rise in special education classifications and how we might be able to help that with consistent resources. But given the staff that we have at 4th and 5th grade, we want to see success, and we want to start it there and then grow that process down. So how we arrived at using ARA was funds that we had.
We thought the best way we could do that with that one-time funding was to purchase the materials.
Materials and training are, as I stated to the board before, the best way to do that instead of looking at cliff funding with a position or something like that.
Is that discussed with the committee, or is that?
It's a discussion with the administrators, and then share that with the committee as far as where we're moving forward on that.
But the decision to use those funds for that purpose, but does that address the committee?
It's addressed the committee, but it's pretty much straightforward that that's where the need is.
And is Mrs. McLaughlin consulted on that spending?
Yes.
Okay. So that's Mary. You're okay with that IDEA funding being used for that purpose?
Is it Lynn? Yes.
Okay.
It was originally, I think, earmarked for TESSA. And I think that looking at that, that was so broad. I believe if I remember
correct. And it was not available in our area.
Right.
It's only available.
And it was going to be years and years of ongoing training, so that really was, I think, the best choice the first time around. So, and then further looking to see how we target that 4th, 5th grade, and reading seems to be, I don't want to say weakness, but an area where a lot of students are being classified with specifically reading, reading, and writing.
And that program is the best way to combat that issue? removed from your IDEA.
Is that what you thought?
Textbooks. I do agree with Grace that we should be looking at all the textbooks. These issues of the textbooks come up over and over and over again, and we do hear these issues a lot. And, you know, I can see the wisdom of not necessarily having a textbook for every single subject. I mean, you know, for example, Pluto's not a planet anymore. Who knew? So, there's certain things that it might not be appropriate to commend that much, those many dollars to have a book, where it might be better with the internet and access other ways to save money and still deliver good education. But I do think that for once and for all, we should sort of put the issue to bed and have an overall review of the textbooks, of the resources, whatever they may be, and decide whether or not we have the best that we can do and the best that is appropriate for the children at the various levels.
You know, I agree with that, and it would help me, you know, if we can do something in committee, and then maybe whenever we come up with some kind of work product, maybe, you know, Bobby or somebody, you know, there's a presentation that goes up there, you know, it's every grade and all the subjects with a big thing that shows parents, here's where you can expect books right now, here's where you can't, and this is the theory behind what we're doing. I mean, I can't pull the whole thing together in my head, and every year your child goes through a different grade and you just don't know what to expect from, you know, what books you're going to be using or whatnot.
I think we have to come to, like, the resolution, or at least to, as someone said earlier, just to be able to sleep at night, to know that, you know what, we have looked at all of it, and we can say with a straight face, as far as the current curriculums and the current standards for children at these grade levels in this year, or at this time era, they have the best resources that are available to them. And I think that we should do that review to make sure that those things are available, whether they be books, resources, online access, or whatever it is that delivers the best that we can. So I'm not sure how we'd go about that review.
Well, it's easy enough, an inventory of what we currently have, and with the input of the staff as we have been moving forward, where do we see gaps as we're writing the curriculum to meet the new standards, trying to fill those gaps. You know, ahead of time, an accounting of what we have and where it is in the way of a resource and in what format that resource is, be it a resource book, a textbook, or a packet, that should be available as well.
Right, so then along with the recommendation, we need a textbook for this class, but it's also an explanation that, yes, the textbook is appropriate. In another case, it might be a packet is appropriate for these reasons, or some other type of resource is appropriate for this reason, so that everybody can feel, rest assured, that their child is getting the best home resources or class resources that they need. And then we'll do that, and how we'll do that along the curriculum here?
Correct. You know, moving forward, we definitely could take an accounting of what we have now, what we find as the standards that have been changed, K-2 math, science for next year, and whether or not those certain resources are not only applicable to those changes, but in the hands of students, teachers, and parents.
Can we have a roll call vote now?
Yes.
Ms. Presti?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Levin?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
No 120 and yes on the ballot.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
I'll go along with Kevin. That was 01020 and yes on the others.
All motions passed by varying counts.
Donna,
John Gregory's not here for communications. Michelle, Jody, or John, is there anything you can share with the board in relation to communications?
Well, as usual, Donna coordinated a terrific effort, I think, in the current bulletin, the town bulletin, as far as the school board notes. Going forward, those notes and other communication will revolve around the budget and just giving updates to the parents as things become available and appropriate. That's pretty much what the communication committee has been working on.
And I know they've been working on the budget and getting out information, different flyers.
Exactly.
And they did do an outstanding job. Everyone should have received at their home the latest issue of the Clinton Township newsletter, which came out, I think, on Saturday. Grace, you didn't get it. Yours is at the post office. I would suggest you go down to the post office and pick it up. It's a real good issue. Anything else on communication? Okay. Recognition of the public. A second recognition of the public. Anybody would like to address the board again at this late hour?
I'd just like to thank you for aligning the snow days to North Henderson. And I would like you to consider the alignment of the calendar overall. You know, several of the other sending districts at North are starting to do that. I posted on the wiki about the better utilization of instructional time so that, you know, kids are in school longer before we take the ASS tests. So I know that's in your new business, so I just want to call you. And I know I have talked to lots of people. And, you know, anyone who has had a kid go to North, you realize, oh, it makes perfect sense. When you're here, you just don't think about it. You think, oh, Labor Day weekend. You know what? It's more important that the instructional time.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Kevin, you want to talk a little bit about school calendar?
Sure. Under new business, I sent a draft to the board based on some of the feedback in the wiki, some emails that I did receive with the help of Sherry Bobel, my secretary. Crafted a calendar and not to be approved this evening, but for discussion for the board, is that we would match North Hunterdon Voorhees basically day for day during our current school year, which is starting after Labor Day, matching all days off leading up to the last day of school. The differences would be we would not take a four-day weekend on President's Weekend like they did. And our service days, in-service days for our staff would not be during the school year. Right now we take Election Day for parent-teacher conferences, and we take a fifth day around the President's Weekend as part of an in-service day, as we did this year, taking President's Day itself. That frees us up that we start the day after Labor Day and then June 8th, right along with the high school when they graduate. We would graduate our eighth grade June 7th, that Thursday, and then our last day of school would be June 8th as the high school is, and then they graduate that night, the high school students. That is what I put out there before the board. As you see from the wiki, it's interesting. We even got input from the North Hunterdon Voorhees teacher, who is not, I guess he's more inclined as I am to say, you know, morale isn't what you think it is coming back earlier than Labor Day. You can read it for yourself if you haven't already. Yes, it is more contact time, but starting after Labor Day, getting the time in within a consistent time frame in 180 days mandated makes for a good year as well. So I put that before the board. There is one district that is aligning with North Hunterdon Voorhees, that is Bethlehem. They are starting exactly with the same date. I know that's proposed. I don't know if it's approved yet. The other one, Clinton Public, is starting September 1st, which happens to be before Labor Day. They're not starting in August, along with North Hunterdon Voorhees. If you had a chance to view that, The biggest changes, as I said, for us would be our in-service days. There would be three prior to Labor Day, and there would be a one after the school year is over for students for an in-service day for staff. As part of the contract, it allows for the CTEA to give recommendations to the board. I reached out to the board, the CTEA president, to do just that, to give us a recommendation. I didn't receive that just yet, but once I do, I will share that with the board before you take action, so you can have their input.
Can you entertain questions?
Absolutely.
If I read this right, we have no snow days allocated.
Correct. We would follow, instead of adding the 4 days, so that we would move into another week, so that would be in June, the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. That would be our last day. North 140s right now, if they don't use their days, they have a period of giving back those days. They add another day around Memorial Day as a give back, so they can still end on the same date. They are tied to the national graduation movement that goes on, and that's what helps set their date. So that date is fixed. So it's hard for them. That's how they already build in their snow days to meet that date. Plus, their students go 182 days.
But for us, and I actually am in favor of aligning with North, because I for a lot of different reasons. But if I'm reading this right, if we have, as a practical matter, if we have more than two snow days, we're eating into spring break, which seems like a fait accompli. I mean, like,
correct.
When have we not had more than two snow days?
It'd be one for one, and that's why this is a draft. It would be, if something happens prior to Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that would be a give back. The next one would be President's Day in February, because we're only taking one day around that. And then everything else could either be taking away, and this is where it can be a change formula by the board. We take away from spring break, but we add on to the school year.
Okay. I'm not in favor of immediately taking away from spring break and only the snow day. I mean, many people, teachers and families, use that week to go. They make reservations, they have blank reservations. Okay, the February, you know, the long weekend, okay, maybe you can tolerate. But that's a full week with weekends. You know, that's a 9 or 10 day span for families where they can go somewhere. I don't think it's acceptable, because if it snows once, they're going to take away a day, and then this family's faced with the situation of having their kid have to miss school, or if they're a teacher, what would a teacher do, right?
Right, the teachers would have to take a personal day.
If they're allowed to, and if a lot of teachers, what happens if lots of teachers are made once? I know this has come up in high school, because I have a friend who teaches, and they ended up with kind of a lottery system. I mean, they basically couldn't all take the day, and if some of them ended up, you know, losing their vacations. This seems to me a little too aggressive. That's my feedback.
And again, that's why it's a draft. Okay. The other way would be to build in the snow days already, and we would end on the 14th. Or change the formula so that you don't touch spring break. You would add on 4 days, or even, because it's another full week, 5 days, and then go back. And that's the flexibility of a calendar every year.
We can start earlier and build the snow days.
But we can absolutely start earlier in the year.
If we're going to align with them, why not align fully, or sort of half align, or align the tail end, but not at the beginning?
And that's an interesting discussion, Mark. As we hear from parents who have either children in both districts, or as well children who have gone through our district and now in the high school, that is one view, but there's a totally other view for the parents of younger children. And this way I try to serve both. We don't start with them, but we end with them.
Always multiple stakeholders pulling in different directions.
Actually sending out like a Zoomerang survey to the parents and asking them their opinion on what our start date.
Correct. We've tried to create one in-house, but I wanted to expand that, Jody, so I'll have that for the board prior to the action taken.
Okay, because I would really like to hear parental feedback. I'd like to understand.
We've gotten that on the wiki, and I've gotten direct emails that I try to incorporate into my draft.
Okay, but that's only a portion of the population, mm-hmm. So...
And again, you know, if we send it out to everyone, hopefully we would get a good response. Yes.
I think we would.
So. But not to overburden the survey vehicle, we wanted to make sure we got other input as well. So I've asked the leadership to help when we look over the strategic plan, what are other areas that we want feedback from.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can really use this survey to meet the needs of feedback in certain areas along the strategic plan.
Just try to keep the survey simple.
Yes.
Because, you know, parents don't have a lot of time, and if we want compliance, we need to keep it.
That, no, it shouldn't be more than 5 minutes. That's the hope.
Okay.
Are we done? Is there any other new business that needs to come before the board?
Hey, Jim, I have one thing.
Go ahead, Grace.
Can I bring up something new, or had I didn't have to talk to you about it in advance? You know, I had sent an email to Jim a couple weeks back talking about the community day that the Clinton Township puts on, and there's a lot of groups that are represented there, but I think that the Board of Education should have some type of sponsor some type of an event there. I know the foundation does it, and a lot of the local groups does it, but we haven't really had much of a presence there. I mean, I don't know if any of you even go, but I think maybe through the communications committee or tying doing something.
Well, the school district and the administrators, we have a presence there along with the staff.
We do. Do we have some kind? Are we sponsoring some type of event there?
Not the board.
Okay.
At least my experience last year.
Okay. I'd like to see the board maybe do something, sponsor some type of fun table or event or whatever, and have us all be there, or as many that can go. Just throw it out there.
There was an article in the community newsletter, the Clinton Township newsletter, and it said that there would be various organizations. Do they have a booth? Do we have a booth here?
Who did that?
The PTA.
The PTA. Okay.
Part of it was
school. Well, then maybe we don't need to have our own, but maybe we, as a board, we could just be more involved in that. I think that's.
So we would encourage board members to attend and to come to the table, come to the tent.
Paint faces.
Some of us that have the shirts, the Clinton Township shirts, we could wear the shirts that day. Now, when is Clinton Township Day? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Community Day.
When is it?
May 1. April
30th. April 13th? You might have new board members. That's a good point, though, Grace. I think we should encourage all board members to attend if they can. Any other new business that needs to come before the board? We will be going into executive session. Can we have a motion to adjourn the public meeting?
So moved.
So moved by Mark.
Seconded.
Seconded by Jody. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll go into executive session.
Action will not be taken.
Not be taken.